We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. The Bears at home this week to take on the Sacramento State Hornets, and a former broadcasting partner of ours, Troy Taylor, now the head coach at Sacramento State, had a terrific year 2 years ago. And then they didn't play last year at all because of COVID. So they're getting back into things. They're 1-1. We'll talk a little bit more about Sacramento State and Coach Taylor a little bit later on. But joining us now is Bears head coach Justin Wilcox. And a reminder, the Cal Athletic Department is happy to announce the introduction of the California Golden Bears app. Now, in the app, you can get season tickets added to your mobile wallet, as well as purchase additional tickets as well, resell, or transfer your tickets to a friend. The app is available now at both Google Play and the Apple App Store. Coach, we talked last week about the teams improved from week one to week two. Where did you see the most improvement despite the loss at TCU in this game?
Yeah, it was difficult to stomach because we had our chances for the second week in a row. We did see measured improvement throughout the team, we thought. However, it wasn't quite enough to get us a win at TCU against a good team. So that's frustrating. I think offensively, we took a step forward, especially in the vertical passing game. Pass protection was really strong, and we made some plays down the field. However, there was a few opportunities. I think the 4th-and-1 early in the game, first drive, a play that we can make. We left on the table, end of the half. We had a chance to continue with the ball at the end of the half again. And then maybe in the second half, converting one or two more of those drives just to push the ball down the field and get some points, and at worst, flip the field and control the ball a little bit. But we took a step forward, especially in the vertical pass game, we thought, which is bodes well for the future. Defensively, really started fast, forced punts, got a pick six, had some really good moments. I thought Cameron Good played very, very well, impacted the game. However, it's kind of feast and famine right now for the defense. We're playing either really well or not well at all. And we got to have a little more consistency on some routine plays. I mean, the end of the first half, they run inside zone. we ran up the field with one guy and then we missed too many tackles and it's a touchdown. I mean, those things can't happen. And then later in the game, you know, a simple curl route goes for a touchdown. So just more consistency needed there on defense. Special teams, I thought we covered kickoffs and punts pretty dang well. Unfortunately, the PAT was the one that we were chasing the whole game, where we, you know, we've been really pretty solid snap, hold, kick. You know, Slater Zeller's a damn good snapper, and we just had one that got away from us, and we chased that point throughout the rest of the game. And, you know, that was, again, an opportunity we feel like we could capitalize on pretty routinely.
Yeah, ironically, you mentioned chasing the point, but as the game unfolded, then TCU chased an extra point as well. Yeah. Didn't make it. It actually gave your team a chance to win the football game at the end. Tell us when, I mean, I know everybody has a chart.
Yeah.
You know, when do you do it? When do you start chasing? When do you don't? I mean, tell us through that process.
Yeah. I mean, everything's charted. There's analytics on this stuff, and there's, you know, we kind of have our own system that we've built, and ultimately it's my decision. And it's, you take this, that information, you know, the math, and then also a bit of your gut, you know, like, is now the time or do we want to wait? So we, you know, at the end, the second quarter there, we took a shot at trying to even it or get the point back, and didn't convert. Late in the game, we had to obviously go for two and had a pretty good play and a good run, but we just didn't quite convert it there at the end. And so, there's different trains of thought on it. We went after it earlier, not knowing, you know, how the outcome of the game was going to be, of course, but, there's math, there's charts, and both the analytics and the charts would say to go for it when we did, but there are some other arguments to be made in there. I get that.
You mentioned Cam Good having a really good game. He had a couple of sacks, three tackles for a loss, kind of, you know, against a good a team, stepped up big time. Another guy that showed up a lot in this game, made a huge play, was Daniel Scott.
Yeah.
And he just shows up around the football, had the pick six that gave you guys a lot of momentum there, had a really great tackle for a loss. Tell us about his play, his development, because he's a guy that's starting to step up big time.
He is. I think Daniel's best game. He's worked really hard since he's been here. I mean, Daniel has come a long way, and he's playing good football. He's really sharp. And he makes really quick decisions. You know, when the play is going, Daniel doesn't get caught in the weeds, so to speak. I mean, he makes quick decisions during the play, and whether it was running through and making tackles, obviously the pick, he's just playing good football, playing confident, trusting what he sees, trusting his technique. And I'm really happy for Daniel, because he's sure coming into his own.
Another guy that stepped up that has kind of been in and out of the little limelight, so to speak, is Trayvon Clark. I mean, the big touchdown gives you a big receiver. Are you seeing more consistency from him than maybe you did a year ago?
Yeah, I think that's a key word. And Trayvon really committed himself this offseason. I mean, you talk about every walkthrough, every meeting, the way he practices it. You could almost see it coming last week, because during practice, I mean, that guy was on point. He was catching the ball, bursting. I mean, he was making big plays down the field in practice. I mean, I can remember last week on Tuesday and Wednesday, he and Chase connecting on, three or four deep balls contested that they made. And so it seemed to be a sign of things to come. But Trayvon has done an excellent job, and really proud of him. He's competing hard. It matters to him. He's practicing very hard, and it's showing up in the game.
Let's take a look ahead at the Sacramento State Saturday, 1 o'clock start. The Bears against the Hornets, who are 1-1 on the season. They won their opening game of the year as they defeated Dixie State 19-7, then lost to a really good team. Northern Iowa was ranked 15th in that division, 34-16. They led it to half against a ranked team.
Yep.
Good field goal kicker, quarterback as Troy Taylor. Always seems to have a guy that's going to throw the ball around the yard a little bit. Good running back, good tight end, good receiver. I mean, they seem to have a lot of the same components as Nevada did in the first game, with the quarterback, running back, wide receivers, and the tight end.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And we know Troy and Andy Thompson, their D coordinator, they have good coaches over there. They know how to scheme and they're going to be well prepared. We know that. You mentioned the quarterback. He can throw the ball. He's active with his feet, running the ball. They got a good tight end. They got two good backs, another receiver who's a former all-conference player. As you mentioned, 2 years ago, won the conference. And I think, last week we're beating a really good team at halftime. So we know what's coming, and we know it's going to take good football on our part, and so we got to get back to work and make sure that we're taking the same. We took a step last week, and we got to take another step this week.
I guess it's finding a way to win the game. I mean, both games have kind of been in the balance. Yeah. It's just whether it's one or two plays during the game or trying to finish off a half or finishing off a game.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you hit it on the head. There's a couple plays throughout the game, and you never know when they're coming. That's the thing. And so you have to anticipate. It's always the next play. That's the one. And then there's some situational football. The end of the half football, we have to be better. I mean, two games in a row, we have the ball, have a chance to move it and finish the half with the ball and get some points potentially. And we end up giving the ball back, and we've given up points at the end of each half and then the ensuing third quarter drive in both games. And that's a big swing. And we've previously done a good job in those situations. And this year we haven't. And so we have to, as coaches, myself, starting with me, make sure that we're emphasizing whatever we need to make sure that we're taking advantage of those moments and not letting them hurt us.
Yeah. Each week, we also like to talk about something that's not directly related to the game in the past or the upcoming game. But I thought this week, since it's relatively recent, maybe the last month or 6 weeks or so, what is being called the Alliance, that may change your scheduling, if nothing else, yeah, going forward. I mean, you've got schedules that, I mean, we've got games that are 7, 8, 9 years in the future. But with this alliance, and that would be the Pac-12 in conjunction with the Big Ten and the ACC, kind of trying to offset what the SEC has done this year with Oklahoma and Texas joining them sometime in the future. I mean, do you like the idea of maybe reducing a conference or a non-conference game, maybe going to an 8-game conference season, but picking up additional non-conference games with teams from the Big Ten and or the ACC?
I do like the idea. I think, however, the idea I would like most is that there's uniform scheduling throughout college football. And so if that's the schedule model in terms of how people are going to schedule, I'd be all for that. What I think we need is to find some common ground in scheduling. That would be priority one. If that became an eight game and then go play, somebody from the Big Ten or the ACC, that'd be great. Obviously we love playing out here and playing Pac-12 schools, as many of them as we can. I'm for that too. I think in the end, for me, my opinion would be, let's just make it uniform throughout college football, so we have kind of a even playing field as possible.
Yeah. Because currently the Pac-12 is playing the 9 league games, and let's just say the SEC is only playing 8. It gives you an opportunity to kind of work your schedule a little bit, where maybe what's going to happen to these FCS schools? I mean, you got Sacramento State. I mean, the Montana already beat, yep, Washington. I mean, what happens to those schools if you're going to just play all Power 5 opponents?
That's a great point that not many people are bringing up. I mean, the unintended consequences of some of these great matchups. I mean, and as you mentioned, they're good football teams, and we got one coming in this weekend. And you saw it a couple weeks ago in Seattle with, a good football team going up there to Washington. So, those regional games, are those going to be at risk? I don't know. But that's one of the potential unintended consequences of moving to a different model. In the end, Todd, to be honest with you, I know our commissioner and Jim Knowlton, and they're all meeting about all this stuff. And I'm kind of much more in my bubble right now, just trying to figure out how we're going to you know, play better this weekend.
Yeah, and the commissioner, and this will be the final thought here, the commissioner at Pac-12 Media Day said that every decision that is going to be made at the conference level will be made to figure out a way to get Pac-12 teams in whatever size playoff exists, whether it's currently 4 or it goes to 8 or 12 or whatever it happens to be. I mean, it's nice as a football coach, you like to hear that. But by the same token, does it or will it give additional benefits to what they consider to be the premier programs in our conference? I mean, does it benefit some of the teams that are currently at the top, and maybe some of the other will end up not getting the same breaks? I mean, that has to be a little bit of a concern too.
Yeah, I guess, again, these are really good questions you're bringing up, and ones that crossed my mind. I think there's a lot of discussion that people are going to have. And when the time's right and they ask me specifically, I'll have an opinion. But, I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying, and that could be something that's played into it. I think our job as coaches here is to put us in a position where we can be the ones that they're trying to help. You know, that's our job. And so right now that means we got to practice our ass off this week and get ready for Sac State.
All right. We look forward to the game. We'll talk to you a little bit later in the week, get more details on Sacramento State. Have a good week of practice, and go Bears.
Go Bears. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Head coach Justin Wilcox. A reminder, the Bears back in action at FTX Field at California Memorial Stadium this Saturday. Sacramento State, the Hornets come to Berkeley. Kickoff set for 1 o'clock. We'll be on the air with a pregame show beginning at noon. For tickets, log on to calbears.com/tickets or call the box office at 1-800-GO-BEARS. And a reminder, Cal fans, PGA Tour Golf is back in Napa Valley with the Fortinet Championship this week. So get out to Silverado Resort and Spa for world-class golf, Napa hospitality, and powerhouse performers. Weezer, Bush, and Chase Rice. Secure your tickets now at FortinetChampionship.com. Hope to see everybody out there. When you're not at the stadium on Saturday, watching the Bears take on the Hornets of Sacramento State, we'll be on the air with the pregame show, Bud Light tailgate show, beginning at noon. They kick off shortly after 1 o'clock. The Bears looking for their first win of the year. And joining us now on the podcast is wide receiver Trayvon Clark, coming off his, I guess, arguably your best game of your Cal career. You had 5 receptions, a couple of big ones as well, including a long 68-yard touchdown reception. Just your thoughts about getting more involved in the offense and getting the opportunity to get balls thrown your way and taking advantage of that.
Yeah. First and foremost, I'm grateful and blessed to be able to even be in the position to have the opportunity to do what I did. But, you know, I became comfortable. I've been gelled. I've been integrated. And I always knew the opportunity was going to present itself, and it was up to me to capitalize on the opportunity when it did. And I felt as if against TCU was a prime example of what I can do week in and week out. So,
yeah, I know part of the game plan against TCU, by the way in which they play defense, I mean, it's pretty much man-to-man coverage almost all the time. So going in, I think the feeling was you guys were going to be able to take some shots, right? And you were able to take advantage of those.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was just we knew our guys were – we knew we had a chance over their guys. So it came down to one-on-one situations, who can win the foot race, who can win the battle off the line, and you see the results of that, and we did what we were supposed to do.
Trayvon is a senior from Victorville, went to El Camino College down in Southern California. We'll talk about that a little bit more momentarily. But at 6'4", I mean, you're a big guy. Your Jeremiah Hunter is a big guy. You've got a bigger group of receivers. What kind of an advantage is that for you?
I feel like being a big receiver, and then a lot of people, like, they think a big, tall receiver is, they don't have speed or they can't run past us. That's something that catches. I know it catches a lot of these little smaller, quicker, fast DBs off guard. When I'm 6'4", 195, and I can run past you, or if not, I can outrun you. So the advantages is being able to have that big body, using it off the line, using my strength in the block and run game, and then being able to jump up for the ball. There's, I mean, if you're 6'1", 6'2", and under as a DB, you're put at a disadvantage against a 6'4 wide receiver such as myself.
Well, so far you got 9 receptions, so that's 4.5 per game. You're on a pace to get about 50 plus. And even though the touchdown against TCU was exciting, and it was a long one, and you got into full stride, Cal fans right now probably most remember you for the big catch you had, a 37-yarder 2 years ago. You're smiling as we're talking right now because you know where I'm going here, right? And that last drive against Stanford 2 years ago over on the farm that set up what I call the Garber's Gallop for the game-winning touchdown. Tell us, you know, how big of a deal was that at the time, and how many people have reminded you of that catch over the last 2 years?
I feel like at the time it was probably one of the most clutch plays I've made in my career. And then it felt routine in a way. There's something that, I mean, I showed flashes and I took advantage of the opportunity when it presented itself, but I still hear about, they call it the big catch. Like, that's something that I've heard a lot. And I think last year when we played Stanford, right before we played Stanford, I was working out with one of the players. We were at at this little training session back in SoCal. And he was like, oh, weren't you the dude who basically helped y'all win the axe back? And I was like, yeah, it's crazy. People still talk about that to this day.
And people will be talking about it for quite some time. Yeah. You were the big play before the big play. So you're the setup play, right? Yeah. You're the setup man, to speak. You know, I was talking to Coach Wilcox a little bit earlier on the podcast. He talked about how you've made improvements. And the one word that he used to describe that, and the reason for that, is consistency. And it's not just consistency in practice. It's consistency in a lot of other things. Talk about how you've tried to become more consistent in the way you approach things.
So for me, I felt like it was just the small little things that I had to be more consistent with in terms of my eating habits, me going hard every single day, me being consistent with not taking any reps off, being consistent on the field, in the classroom, being consistent with my grades, just practicing, being consistent with everything that I put my mind to. And I felt like that's translated to the field, no doubt. And I felt like that's really one of the big things that has helped me develop and grow the way I have this offseason, is just everything I put my mind to, every goal I set for myself, I did whatever it took to get there, and I was consistent with it. So
is there a reason why it seemed to click this year? Sometimes we hear of senioritis. Now, senioritis can be guys think, well, I'm on the way out the door. And for other guys, it's like, whoa, this is like my last opportunity. So when did it seem to click for you?
I would say it really clicked during the COVID year. I started realizing, I had to look myself in the mirror and ask myself, what do I need to do to put myself in the best position as possible to make my dreams come true of playing at the next level? And I kept it real with myself. I was honest with myself. And then I got back to work. I put my nose to the grindstone and just started grinding every single day. And I told myself, I want to get to this weight. I want to get my speed up. I want to get stronger in the weight room. I want my routes to be better. I want to build chemistry and trust, not just with the quarterbacks, not just with Chase, but with the whole coaching staff. And I feel like that came with just proving to them that I can be consistent. I can handle the things off the field, and I can handle the things on the field. And I've took major strides in that area. So
no question about it.
It's far from over.
Yeah. No question. As we mentioned, you attended El Camino College, and your coach down there, Jeff MacArthur, Cal Hall of Famer on some of those great teams with Aaron Rodgers. What did he teach you not only about the game and being a wide receiver, but also about just life in general?
He really just taught me just be resilient, you know, just don't let any situation break you. Don't let any situation make you fold or quit, or don't run from adversity, if I'm putting terms. We sat down, he was my coach. We talked a lot. He just spoke to me about the things that he went through while he was at Cal in terms of injuries, you know, all the stuff that happens while you're playing D1 football. And he said what helped him really become so successful at Cal was he was resilient. He never quit. And when adversity struck, he went harder. He struck adversity back. So we've had talks. We talk very frequently. And he's just somebody, he's a real good mentor, helped me keep my mind right, and just helps me. He helped let me know that I'm on the right path. So,
well, you are on the right path. You're going in the right direction. And folks, from an audio standpoint, can hear a little noise in the background, which is awesome because it leads me into the next topic that we're going to have. Trayvon Clark joining us now, the senior from Victorville. You've got a little boy. The next couple of weeks are going to be big. I mean, you got a birthday coming up in like less than 2 weeks, I think it is. And then after that, you're expecting your second child. You've already got a little boy right now. Tell us what it's like being a dad and going to school and playing Division I football.
Hey, there's nothing like being a dad or going to Berkeley for school and playing football. So I feel like I'm getting the best of all three worlds, if you say that. So, I mean, there's some challenges, there's ups and downs, but the ups, they most definitely tower the downs. So, I mean, I just got to stay focused, keep working, remind myself who I'm doing it for, and everything's going to take care of itself.
What do you like most about being a dad? Not sure if you heard me.
I would say just watching them. Yeah, I heard you. Just watching them grow. You know, he's a product of me in a way. He's a split image of me. So just being able to raise him, trying to, you know, let him learn. Not let him learn, but I'm teaching him from my mistakes. So he doesn't make the same mistakes as me. It's a fun experience. You know, you get to see him start walking, you kind of potty train him, you know, it's fun. I'm going to be the dad.
So does he have good hand-eye coordination?
Yeah. Oh, it's funny you said that. We were playing catch yesterday. He was watching the Monday Night Football, and every time they made a catch, he started clapping his hands. So he likes sitting there watching football. He run around with his little football yesterday thinking he was playing football. So, yeah, it's coming natural to him.
Oh, that's awesome for sure. No, you remind me a little bit of Marvin Jones, Cal receiver who has had a tremendous year in the National Football League, mostly with Detroit, who had children when he was in college as well. I mean, he was also a good-sized guy, 6'2", 6'3", a little thinner like you are as well, great hand. And so he went through that, and things turned out so wonderfully for him, just a great guy to be around. He's had a great family as well. So a lot of similarities in that regard. Who do you go for parental advice?
Really, I mean, I talk to my mom, I talk to my dad, but it's kind of hard to say who there's not really anybody I go to.
Kind of just live and learn and go take it day by day.
Yeah, I'm teaching myself. So, I mean, besides that, my fiance's mom, she's a real big help. My mom, she helps. She tries to give us advice, but I feel like everybody's situation is different. So you can have an input, but I mean, I got to figure it out on my own. That's how I look at it. So,
yeah, that's part of it. That's kind of the good and the I don't want to say the bad, because I mean, there are tough times, but they're not bad times, because it's all part of the process. So it's all, do you have a name picked out for the second boy coming up?
Yeah, Elijah with an A.
Okay, and your first boy is named?
TJ, he's Trayvon Clark Jr.
Okay, got a namesake. Yep. That's pretty cool. Yep. That's pretty cool. Yep. What's the mood on the team this week? Couple of tough losses. You got Sacramento State coming up on Saturday.
We're focused on day by day. We're focused on today's practice, and then we'll focus on tomorrow's practice. You know, we're focused on getting better day by day. Fixing the little mistakes, you know, having a stronger second half than the first half. And then, you know, just we're a good team. I have faith in this team. We're really talented. I mean, in my opinion, I feel we could be 2-0 very easily. But, you know, stuff happens. I mean, everything happens for a reason. And we learned a lot from the last 8 quarters that we played. And this week is going to be something to watch. It's going to be special. It's going to be the start of something special.
Looking for some fireworks this week. One final question. Your position coach, Burl Toler, played with your former coach, Jeff MacArthur. Does Burl have any good Jeff MacArthur stories?
Oh, man, they have all. They have a handful of stories. So, I mean, they have a real good relationship. I mean, I knew that coming into Cal that they had a really good relationship. But for the most part, they have some real amazing stories about Aaron Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch, you know, what they used to do after a big win, you know, just being college students. So it's always good to hear their stories from me, especially from both sides. So,
yeah, I bet you, because Jeff has the more receptions, okay, in his Cal career. I mean, he's one of the all-time great Hall of Famers, we mentioned. Burl, though, has had great success, you know, coaching now at the Division I level. So two really good guys, great representatives of the University of California, and you're fitting in with that mold as well. Congratulations on what you've been able to accomplish so far. Wish you nothing but the very, very best, not only on the field, but the home life as well. We're rooting for you all the way around. Thank you for being with us, and have a good game this weekend, Sac State.
No problem.
All right. Thank Travion you. Clark, Bears senior wide receiver, five receptions, 122 yards, including a 68-yard touchdown against TCU. And we're hoping for a lot more of that come Saturday against Sacramento State. Reminder, we'll be on the air with the Bud Light Tailgate Show beginning at noon, kickoff shortly after 1 o'clock. That wraps it up for this week. We appreciate the time of Coach Wilcox and Travion Clark for being with us today. And as always, we hope to see you at the stadium on Saturday. And until then, I'm Todd McKim. Thanks for listening. And as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.